I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of James tonight. The last couple of weeks, we began a new study on fruitfulness. And in order to have good fruit, you have to have good roots. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And if we live in the Spirit, we ought to walk in the Spirit. We spent some time looking at Psalm 1, and if you haven't read that lately, I'd encourage you to look at that, study that out. But when we delight in the law of the Lord and we meditate therein day and night, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And when we are rooted in Christ, then we can bear fruit for His glory. Tonight we're going to study about being rooted in God's Word. James chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse 19. James 1 and verse 19. If you find your place, would you stand with me to honor God's Word tonight? James 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Please give us a love for your word, and give us grace to live by your word. Help us to be rooted in your word, that we might bear much fruit for your glory and be disciples indeed. Please bless everyone that's here tonight. Father, I pray that we can hear and apply your word. Please be with those who are unable to be here and help them to grow in your word also. Father, I pray that you would help us to just grow in your grace and knowledge. Lord, help us to see the church grow as souls are saved and baptized and added. And Father, I just pray that you get glory from all that we do. Help me now from nothing without you. Please bless, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If I ask you today, what is the Word of God? I would probably get a couple of different answers. Some of you would say Jesus is the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And you'd say, Jesus is the living Word of God, and you would be right. Somebody would say, the Bible is the Word of God, and you would be right as well. Both Jesus Christ and the Bible are the living Word of God. And if we are going to be rooted in Christ, it is impossible to be rooted in Christ and not be rooted in the Word of God. I need you to get that. I need that to sink down into your ears tonight, because it's very important. A lot of people I meet think that they know Jesus and think that they're in Christ and think that they're real Christians, and yet they are never in the Word of God. They don't read the Word of God. They don't study the Word of God. They don't go to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God. The Word of God has no place in their life, and yet they think they're in Christ. Friends, that doesn't go together. That doesn't work. If we are in Christ, if we're rooted in Him, we must be rooted in His Word. Therefore, if we're not rooted in the Word of God, we're not really rooted in Christ. And so we've got to get that. It's so vital that we get that. And here we get this picture of the Word of God. And as we study these few verses tonight, we want to get this. Don't be just hearers of the Word of God. It's a tragedy when people don't hear the Word of God. But here you are on a Wednesday night for Bible study, so you're hearing the Word of God. Most of you read your Bible regularly. Most of you read your Bible every day. Praise God for that. So it's a tragedy to not be a hearer of the Word, but it's also a tragedy to be a hearer of the Word and not a doer of the Word. And God doesn't just want us to hear it. He wants us to obey it. And so he gives us this picture of beholding ourselves in a glass. Now, in those days, they didn't, that's a mirror. In those days, they didn't have glass mirrors like we do with silver nitrate sprayed on the back of a piece of glass. They had polished brass. And they would polish the brass up until you could see a reflection. Now, that's not a very good mirror, but that's what they had. But the point is, when you look into the Word of God, it's like looking at a mirror. It shows you what you really look like. But if we don't do what the Bible says, then it's like looking at the mirror and seeing what you really look like, but then going away and forgetting reality. If you've ever been to Walmart, you've seen some people who looked in the mirror and went away from the mirror and forgot reality. Amen. Okay, just checking. I'm just wondering, has anybody ever left the house and realized you had on two different shoes? Buddy? Okay. Your dad, not you, but your dad. Your time's coming. We, a lot of times, see lives that are just spinning out of control. We see lives that are devastated. It may be a life that's devastated and out of control with anger or lust. It may be that a husband or a wife leaves their family. It may be that a young adult leaves the church, leaves the faith. We see these things happen on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, it happens so much we become desensitized to it. It becomes so commonplace that we don't even notice. When somebody leaves the church, half the church doesn't even realize they were gone. And so many times we see families bust up, and it happens so often that it just doesn't seem to impact us anymore. But friends, these things that we see are not the problem. What we see is the fruit. But the problem is with the root. In other words, families falling apart, that's a symptom of a deeper problem. Somebody leaving the church and leaving the faith, that's a symptom of a deeper problem. That's a result of something that's wrong in the heart. Somebody once said, at the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. And to stay with our theme of being fruitful, this fruitfulness, the idea is this: if there's a fruit problem, it's because there's a root problem. And if we want to get good roots, then we've got to be rooted in the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. By the way, just as a quick side note, the JWs came by the house again Saturday. Did the JWs ever come to your house? I know. They can't get in. The J-Dubs came to the house again the other day, and same guy, he's been by several times now, and I told you before, I want to change their mind. I want them to know who Jesus really is. But even if I can't convince them of who Christ truly is from the Scriptures, I'm going to keep them as long as I can so they don't go somewhere else. Both times I had the chance to talk to him, they always have somebody else waiting in the car. Both times the people in the car had to get out and come tell him they had to go. I think they lied this time and said somebody had to go to the restroom, but that's probably not a nice accusation, but I'm just saying. This is critical. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me tell you why it's important that you got the right Bible, because their Bible, the New World Translation, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a little g God. It's completely different. And they have no problem with that. And it's sad. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him in John 8:31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By the way, that's a tough passage of scripture in John chapter 8 if you study it out. Because those same Jews that the Bible says believed on Jesus, he later calls them the children of their father, the devil. You see, there's a way to believe without really believing. But we're not of them that believe and turn back to perdition, but we are of those who believe unto the saving of the soul. That's the goal, is that our faith is real and it's genuine. And we didn't just say a prayer just because, but we really trusted Christ and now we're continuing in his word. That there's a result because of the conversion that happened. I love the Bible word conversion. It means something's changed from one thing into another. And when I was saved, I was changed from one thing into another. I was saved, I was changed from being dead to being alive, to being in prison, to being set free, to being condemned, to being forgiven. There's a change. So tonight, very quickly, let's look through, let's go back to verse 19. We need to prepare to receive the Word of God. We need to prepare to receive the Word of God. He says to be swift to hear. Now, most of us, if we're honest tonight, are more likely to be swift to speak and slow to hear. That's why you argue with your wife. Amen. Because you talk when you should be listening, right? Swift to hear means that we have a spirit of receptivity. Now, in the context, this biblical principle applies to everything in life. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But in particular, it's talking about the engrafted Word of God and how we receive it. And when we're talking about how we ought to receive the Word of God, we need to be ready to receive it. We need to be prepared to receive it. Whether it's at home opening your Bible every morning to read your devotional and your Bible reading, or whether it's sitting in the pew to listen to the preaching, or whether it's driving to work listening to a sermon on a podcast, we need to be ready to receive the Word of God. We need to be quick to hear. What we are is quick to be distracted. But what we need to be is quick to listen, to hear the Word of God when we show up at church. We ought to say something like, I'm here to receive the Word of God. You know, the announcements are helpful, the music is uplifting, the fellowship is encouraging, but I am here to hear from God. I love the Word of God, and I want God to speak to me, and we ought to come ready to receive the Word of God when we come for preaching. We ought to be ready to receive the Word of God when we open up our Bibles and read our devotional. It shouldn't be just going through the motions. And friends, some of you have been coming to church so long that it's just habit and you're not hungry for the Word of God. We need to be hungry for God's Word. About 8 times Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Or something like that, over and over and over. Jesus, when he spoke to people, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He was talking to multitudes. He may be talking to thousands of people, or he may be talking to hundreds of people. But what would he say? If you have ears to hear, let him hear. What does that mean? Everybody could hear his voice. But some of them weren't really listening. They didn't have ears to receive the Word of God. If we want to be rooted in Christ's Word, we must choose to listen. If you want the fruit, you got to have the roots. And if you want to have the roots, you have to choose to listen and be ready to obey. To have ears to hear means to have ears that are ready to hear and obey. You remember when God called Samuel? You remember Samuel was given to the Lord to serve him, and it was time to go to bed, and he heard a voice, so he got up and he went and he said, yes, sir, to Eli. And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And it happened again and it happened again. And Eli finally realized God's talking to Samuel. And says, go lay down. And when you hear him speak again, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I want to tell you something, friends. God spoke to Samuel as a young man, and he got the message from God. And the Bible says he was a little reluctant to tell Eli what God said. But Eli said, the Lord do to you and worse also if you don't tell me what he said. And he said, okay, I'll tell you. And the Bible says that Samuel, from that time on, never let a word of God fall to the ground. Why? Because he was always ready to hear. Isn't that good? Man, just imagine for a second how many words of the Lord you and I have let fall to the ground. That we didn't get it and we didn't give it like we were supposed to. Let's have ears to hear like Samuel did. A naturalist and his friend were going through a park in one of those big cities where you got to have a park to like be in nature. And as they're going through, they were just kind of talking and listening. And the naturalist heard something all of a sudden. You know, he had studied a lot of things. And he says to his friend, "Did you hear that cricket?" They're in the middle of a park inside of a city. And his friend's like, "What are you talking about? I hear people talking. I hear cars, horns going and all this noise. How could you possibly hear a cricket?" And he said, "Because I'm trained to hear the cricket. People hear what they're trained to hear." And so the naturalist, the guy, he gets out a handful of pocket chains and he drops it on the sidewalk. And about 12 people around them look up. Why? Because we know that sound. And they're probably looking to see if anybody's going to pick it up. Friends, we hear what we train ourselves to hear. And we need to train ourselves to hear the Word of God. I'm trying to tell you that it takes discipline. It takes discipline. How many of you ever sit down to read your Bible only to get confused and distracted and, you know, kind of come to yourself a little while later and go, "Oh yeah, I was reading my Bible"? We do that. How many of you in the middle of the sermon, you kind of check out and you take a little trip in your mind? And then maybe the preacher gets loud or slaps the pulpit and you kind of come back and you're like, "What did I miss?" We all do that. We all do that. We have to train ourselves. We have to discipline ourselves to hear. Some of you guys served in the military. Most guys that I know that have been in the military are trained to listen to their drill instructor. And a lot of guys, when they get in, you know, they're tough and they're mean and they're gruff and they're not gonna let that guy tell him what to do, all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you, after just a couple of weeks in basic training, every soldier knows to listen to his drill instructor. And it doesn't matter what he says, how loud he says it, or to who he says it. If he says it in their presence, their response is quickly and immediately, "Sir, yes, sir." Why? Because they're trained. They're disciplined. And I just want to tell you, if we can be disciplined and trained in so many other ways, how much more important that we get trained to listen to the Word of God. He then says to be slow to speak. Notice, after we hear, then we speak. And we're quick to listen, but we're slow to speak. The Bible has a Proverbs for me. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. Better to let everybody think you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Right? And we get that. People aren't sure whether I'm stupid or not, but then I talk and everybody knows. We ought to be quick to hear and slow to speak. It's you know, people talk about how God gave us two ears and one mouth. Maybe there's a reason for that. Then he says to be slow to wrath. Wrath speaks of deep resentment. It speaks of an inner hatred or an anger. And in the context, like I said, this principle applies to so much, but specifically in our how we receive the Word of God, we need to be careful how we respond to the Word of God. And there are a lot of people who respond to the truth with anger. A lot of people get angry when the Scriptures confront their sin. A lot of times people get mad at the preacher because it's his fault. But I love what Paul says in Galatians 4:16, he says, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" He said, "I'm not your enemy because I tell you the truth. I'm not your enemy because I preach to you hard things. I'm not your enemy because I confront your sin with the Scriptures. Neither is God's word my enemy because it shows me my sin. It's not for my hurt, it's for my help." It's for my good. And so, it's a sad thing when we get angry because the Bible speaks against something that's in our lives. So we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We also need to have a spirit of humility. We need to have a spirit of humility. We need to come with a repentant heart before the Word of God. Most of you know at the end of the service, almost every time we have an invitation. We want to give people an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. As God's convicted their heart, as the Spirit has moved, and the Word of God has touched something in their life, we want people to respond to that, right? And by the way, the invitation time is not just for lost people to get saved. It's not just for new believers to get baptized. It's for all of us to respond to the Word of God, because God's Word changes everybody, not just new believers. And so we have the invitation. We want people to respond. But can I encourage those of you who are saved and baptized and serving the Lord in the church that you don't wait until the invitation time to repent, but you get right with God before you come? We ought to have our hearts right with the Lord before we sit down. Lord, I need your word in my heart. Lord, show me anything that's not right in my heart. Lord, I want to hear from you today. God, I want you to change me today. Lord, show me so that I can get it right with you. We need to come with that heart. In verse 21, he talks about filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, moral sins. An angry spirit, moral failure, often walk side by side in a person's life. When somebody is angry with God and angry with the things of God, their life is usually not good. When I meet sometimes on outreach, we meet people and you see that their life is just in shambles and they're living in all kinds of sin. It's obvious, it's open, and they don't try to hide it. You'll find that they have an angry spirit towards God. And if that can happen to someone out there, you need to be careful, because it could happen to us in here. In my experience, many times when somebody makes me angry, maybe it's the pastor, maybe it's my spouse, maybe it's a friend, a lot of times when somebody makes me angry, if I'll stop for a minute, I'll realize that they're not really the one that has the problem. I am. We've got to lay aside the seed in our lives. I mean, there's no guy in the world that's going to go out at the planting season and the weeds have kind of taken over the garden patch and he's just going to go out there and start planting the seeds in the weeds. You don't do that. You got to get rid of the weeds first. You got to cultivate the soil first. You got to break up that fallow ground before you plant the seed. And friends, God's not going to be able to grow much fruit in our hearts if it's full of sin. We've got to get rid of it. If we sit in the pew with anger in our heart, with evil thoughts in our mind, with sinful deeds in our lives, God's word is not going to penetrate very far into our hearts. He says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's engrafted, it's implanted, it's implanted in us. And we need to receive his word. We need to be like those Bereans who were no more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all readiness of mind. One of the most self-defeating thoughts we can have while we're listening to preaching is, I've already been there, already done that. I want to tell you, the eternal riches of God's word ought to be new and fresh every time we read it or hear it. Contrary to what you may believe, you really don't know it all. One of the little boys in Sunday school here in our church told the Sunday school teacher about a year ago that he already knew everything in the Bible. I've already heard all those stories. I already know it all. You know, that's I'm afraid, a common attitude among us in our churches today. We've already heard it all. I'm going to tell you something, friends. When I hear of the death and resurrection of Christ, it's fresh, it's new every time. I study a passage of scripture I've heard preached on a dozen times, and I've studied myself a dozen times, and I've heard in Sunday school growing my whole life, and I read that passage of scripture and God will show me something new every time, and I go, how did I never see this before? It's so obvious. Friends, it ought to be fresh, it ought to be new every time. We ought to have a heart to hear, swift to hear, slow to speak. We got to be prepared to receive. We've got to prepare and plan to obey. We don't want to just receive the word. We want to obey the word. We have a responsibility to ourselves to hear and obey the word of God. But those of you who are parents, we have a special responsibility to hear and obey the word of God and to pass it on to our children. If we aren't listening to what the Bible says and doing what the Bible says, neither will our children. You ever heard anybody say, do as I say, not as I do, to their kids? I promise you that'll never work. Charles Spurgeon said, schoolmasters are well enough, but godly fathers are, both by the order of nature and grace, the best instructors of their sons, nor can they delegate the sacred duty. It's vital for parents to pass on the truth of scriptures, both by teaching and by example. He went on to say, I bear witness that children can understand the scriptures, for I am sure that when but a child, I could have discussed many a knotty point of controversial theology. As soon as a child is capable of being lost, it is capable of being saved. In Spurgeon's home when he was growing up, it was custom for the Bible to be read verse by verse every evening. We can do the same thing. We can open the Bible every day with our family. We can lead them to hear the Word of God. The Bible is vital for me personally, and it's critical for my kids. I'll just be transparent with you guys for a minute. I'm heartbroken over the number of pastors' kids who don't serve the Lord. So many men that I know in the ministry, their children have grown up, and they don't love God. They don't live for God. And that's terrifying for me. Good men who lived good lives, had good pastorates, seem to have it all together, and their children are not serving the Lord. I want to tell you something. If it can happen to some of the men I know in the ministry, it can happen to anybody. We have to do all that we can to pour the Word of God in our kids' lives and live it out in front of them. One pastor I know whose kids are not serving the Lord, who turned out to have some things in his life that were shocking and not good. His wife later said, the man you all saw at church was not the man we lived with at home. Friends, if we're not living it out at home, it's not real. And our kids are going to know that it's not real to us. We've got to be doers of the word. If our lives are lived watching TV and movies and playing video games like so many lives are led today, we have a different script we're going by. We become performers of those scripts. We begin reflecting the talk, the dress, the ways of those things which we watch. The things that we watch alter our behavior. It changes the way we live. People pattern their lives after movies. I've literally heard people tell me that they made a life decision because they saw it in a movie. Because it always works out in real life like in the movies, right? God wants us to be performers, doers of His word. He's given us a different script. We don't need to go by the world. We need to spend time in the Word of God so that the Word of God changes our behavior and changes the way we live. So that we're doing things because I read it in the Bible, not because I saw it in a movie. We ought to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. We need to, from our mind, our emotions, our will, to do the will of God. A lot of Christians mark their Bibles. But somebody once said, does the Bible mark you? A lot of people underline, highlight, they mark up their Bible. But is the Bible leaving a mark on you? If that's going to happen, we've got to be persistent. Verses 23 and 24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, or immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. We got to continue in the Word of God. That's what Jesus said. If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples. Indeed, we don't just come look at it and then go away from it unchanged. We don't do that. We don't forget what we just heard. We don't forget what God just showed us. We said, Lord, speak to us, and He spoke to us. We said, show us what we need to change, and He showed us, and then we just walk away. No. No, we've got to be obedient to the Word of God. We've got to remember what the Word of God says. Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word. We've got to remember. We got to thoroughly consider what the Scripture says. You think about it for a minute. Most of you look at a mirror before you walk out of the house? Most of you? Just checking? Okay. Most of you ladies, how many of you check yourself in the mirror before you even get out of the car? Yeah, honesty right there. Thank you. Okay, because why? You look in the mirror, what? You're going to see if your hair's out of place and see if your makeup's okay and all that stuff. That's what Brother Ryan does regularly. Make sure his hair's not messed up, wind blown. But most of us do. I mean, nobody wants to get out in front of other people with their hair sticking up, or if you just ate, it's not a bad idea to go ahead and check the teeth, right? Because it's better for you to find it there than somebody have to tell you, you got something stuck in your teeth. I don't know about you, but I hate being told that. Man! I mean, I appreciate it if you would tell me, but it's embarrassing. We look at mirrors. We have really good mirrors today. Some of them may be too good, right? Some of you have those magnifying mirrors at home, and that's scary. Right from a distance, it's not bad. But you get one of those magnifying things where it just shows you everything, that's terrifying. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Flip that thing back over on the distance side. But imagine for a second what it was like back then, because they've got a piece of brass, and it's polished up. It's polished up where you can see your reflection, but you can imagine what that's like. I mean, it's not like looking in a mirror today. I mean, you're going to have to get the light just right. I mean, they're using oil lamps, and you got to get the light just right, and you got to kind of move this way and that way to see anything very good at all. That's the picture God gives us of looking in the Word of God, of hearing the Word of God. We need to really look. We need to look at it and examine it and dig deep and try to figure out, what is God showing me? And when we look in the Word of God, He's going to show us, and we ought to thoroughly consider, and then we ought to continue. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Isn't that good? Don't forget. I've been guilty of this. When I first started pastoring at Salisaw, I was still working for my dad in Muskogee, and there was an electrician there. And he was kind of in and out of church, but he loved to talk Bible. And every time I saw him on Monday morning, he'd show up on a job. He'd say, what did you preach about yesterday? And I'm going to tell you, he caught me a couple of times where I had to stop and think. I couldn't remember what I preached the day before. Now, I make an excuse and say, well, as soon as I got done preaching Sunday morning, I had to turn around and preach Sunday night. And then as soon as church was over Sunday night, I had to start preparing for Wednesday night. And I could do that if I wanted to and make that excuse. But the truth is, I shouldn't forget what I preach Sunday morning. I should know. It should be in my heart. And so it didn't take long of that. I always knew. I was ready. About two times he asked me, every time I saw him, I would just tell him up front, ahead of time. You want to know what I preach Sunday? Because I know. How many times do we come and listen to the sermon and God convicts our heart and things need to change, but by the time we get out the back door and have the discussion on the way to the car where we're going to go eat, have we completely forgotten about everything that God has shown us? It ought not to be so. I've encouraged you guys to take notes, and I want to continue to encourage you to do that. There's a place on the back of our bulletins. There's space there to write notes. I'm going to tell you why those are good, to help you remember. To write much down, a couple of thoughts, a scripture that touches your heart, whatever it is. God convicts you. I need to start doing this, or I need to stop doing that. Just write it down. And then when you've got your prayer list out, every day of the week, you can look at that and be reminded about how God spoke to you. And he's going to continue to work, and you're going to throw that bulletin in the trash or stick it somewhere on a shelf for 100 years or whatever, but you're going to get a new one, and you're going to have new notes, and God's going to speak to you about new things. I want to tell you that when I go back and look at my sermon notes where I've listened to preaching and I wrote things down and I go back and look at that, it is a blessing to me. Now, there's some of it that I'm going, what in the world did I say? I have no idea what that means. But so many times, it's a blessing to be able to go back and remember how God convicted my heart. Look at Joshua 1:8 for me, please. With me, please. Joshua 1:8. This promise is not new. God's word's the same. The way he works is the same. This book of the law, what is that? It's the Bible. That's all they had at that time. There's way more to come. But the word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. What was Joshua going to do? Are you just going to go conquer the promised land? He was just going to go defeat all the nations of the enemies of God? He was going to go claim the land that God promised to Israel? That's why he was going to be prosperous. That's what he was going to have good success in. If he got in the Word and stayed in the Word and let the Word get in him. And friends, God has called us to some battles. God has called us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we will not be successful. We will not have good success. We will not be prosperous in what God's called us to do if we are not rooted in the Word of God. If you don't study your Bible every day, you have to start today. If you're not faithful to be in the house of God for the preaching and teaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I promise you, you're going to miss out and you're going to miss fruit. We've got to be rooted in the Word of God. We're not just here because it's what we've always done. I'm not just up here preaching because that's what you do. I'm up here preaching because it's the way God has ordained for the Word of God to get into your hearts, for all of us to go out and do what he commanded so that we can bear fruit for his glory. Abide in him and we'll bear fruit. We abide in him by abiding in his word. When we bear much fruit, then shall we be disciples indeed. Let's prepare tonight for a verse of invitation. If you'd stand with me, please. One of the amazing things about the preaching of the Word of God is God convicts hearts in so many ways through His Word. Maybe it's not even what I was talking about, but God's convicted your heart. This invitation is a time for you to respond. If there's something you need to repent of or confess, get it right tonight. If there's something God's calling you to do, a decision you need to make for Christ, make that decision tonight. But if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting you, you come right now while we sing.